You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I remember walking around the court square sidewalks, looking in.
Alan Jackson.
Things I couldn't want. There's Johnson's Hardware.
Singing America's music. Mike, can you hear this?
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Matt Olson?
Well, no, you know, I interviewed the guy who just gave up Kilo Company 3-5, who was part of that Sea Dragon 2025 initiative, just kind of walked through what they did, how they did it, the challenges in terms of technology, the challenges of having a junior sergeant do it as opposed to a senior sergeant, if you assume that that we're not going to put staff sergeants in those billets, the 0365 MOS, the significance of that. But when we were doing the interview, I was playing music, and he's one of those music expert guys. And so I played a song, and he says, I can't hear it. Then I turned it up, and he says, yeah, I don't know what that is. So I was wondering if you could hear it, or if it was me, or if it was him. So now I know it's him.
I heard it.
That all makes sense. Okay. All right. So it's him. Let's see. I almost went off on the VA yesterday. They called me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, I went to see him a couple weeks ago, and so I have psoriasis. So they said they were, they would put in the paperwork to have a consult done. So I get a phone call. Yeah, well, because we can't see you till May, refer you to the Veterans Choice Program or the Choice Program, and they'll see you. We'll send you some paperwork, and they'll see you right away.
Right.
No problem. So, sounds good. Makes me happy, as a matter of fact. So I don't get any paperwork. 2 weeks goes by, so I call yesterday. And I talked to three different people, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, I get told by one operator that, well, let me look it up. Yeah, your paperwork is on Dr. Jan's desk. He's the head of dermatology here, so he hasn't signed it to refer it out. I'm like, really? Now, Mike, you could hear the nuclear turbine starting to go. Okay, we're going to do stupid now. And then a couple hours later, I got a phone call from them, and they say, hey, Mr. McNamara, I want to apologize for the delay, and we don't believe this is significant enough to refer out in town, but we will expedite your appointment. We can see you in 2 weeks. I said, okay, I'm okay with that. So it turned out all right.
Not really.
Well, I was
still a month. I mean, you waited 2 weeks for the paperwork. You're 2 weeks out from your appointment. You had to put up with the bullshit, and you think that's okay?
Yes. Is that wrong? Have I just been beaten? Have I just been beaten into submission?
Yeah. That's the problem. Is we've been so desensitized to them. They keep beating you down. So whatever you get is you're happy about.
Yeah. No. You have a point.
But in the end, it's still not. I mean, that's not service. I thought that this is why the VA director is getting fired. Good.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll be the VA director.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm a fire guy.
Supposedly he was doing good things, but when you take your wife on a bullshit trip to Europe, and then when you get queried about it, you lie about it. We can't save you from that, man. Have you read any articles about Andrew McCabe? And the FBI board that reviews these things. Now, so we're talking about guys like, so if the Marine Corps had such a board, it would be guys like Mike and I, this is what we do. We get together and we review these cases. We're career Marines. We're reviewing another Marine. So if it falls within the left and right lateral limit, we would recommend, hey, he did err in judgment here. It did not rise to the significance that we would recommend he be fired, recommend this. But we do this every day. This is our job. This is our right. career. So when those guys say he should be fired, that's some serious shit. So it'll be interesting to see what Jeff Sessions does. I don't know, you know, why wouldn't you just say, I've accepted the board's recommendation from the FBI. He's fired. He won't retire. Because, you know
what, Mike?
That oath needs to mean something. And it doesn't mean anything to the mayor of Berkeley. It doesn't mean anything to the governor of California. But to support and defend the Constitution, you may not like all the laws, but you don't got a choice. Your job is to enforce them, right? That's what you do. Whoever the sheriff is in Denver, that son of a bitch, these people all ought to be fired and made an example of. That oath has to mean something. Andrew McCabe, go away. Those texting jackasses at the FBI, go away, go away. The oath has to mean something. So, anyway.
Well, that's, again, make me the VA director, and the first thing I would announce in the memo would go out to everybody in the VA. It would say, you're fired. You have 24 hours to prove to me that you're worthy in this job. So, I mean, it's just turned into, I just hate dealing with them. I hate hearing the name.
Yeah, this person's in trouble because they did this. You're done. One question, court martial. Were you working in the employment of the VA, fill in the blank, VA, FBI, Marine Corps, whatever, on this date?
Yeah. Yes. You're fired.
You're fired. Go away. Pack your shit. We're done. Okay. Hey, the one thing I will say for the Navy, they're pretty cut and dried on that shit. If you're in charge, your ass is fired yesterday.
Oh, yeah. No, they are. They're good.
Now,
and they get everybody.
I think it happens too much. And the other thing, and I'll go back to the Paris Island thing, you know, there was no senior staff NCO other than the gunny that got smoked for anything. The company commander, I didn't read about his ass. He's where the rubber meets the road. Why wasn't he charged with anything? You know, where was his first sergeant? Why weren't the sergeant majors? Why weren't they drugged to the street?
That's an enlisted show. They tied themselves on. That's the enlisted show.
Yeah, but not when shit rolls downhill. Not when shit rolls. And I called Mike the other night. You don't know this, but we do. There's a scale for valor in awards. Okay? And this is how it works. A captain and a lieutenant could do the same thing in combat. I'm sorry, captain, lieutenant. A lance corporal and a captain could do the same thing, okay? The lance corporal is going to get a Navy com with a V, and the captain's going to get a bronze star or a silver star with a combat V. What? You heard me.
Yeah.
Mike, yes or no?
Absolutely.
Okay, but now we go to court. Now we go to court martial.
The guys writing the awards are, the officers.
The guys writing, and I've heard the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff defend that system and tell you why that's the way it should be. But then we go to court martial, and who's going to jail more often?
The enlisted guys.
The enlisted guys.
They're carrying the heavier pack when it comes to the judgment being passed by the judge.
Yeah, so you get lower awards for valor in combat, but you're going to jail for longer periods of time when the shit blows up. And that whole thing, everything your unit does or fails to do that we all get taught, maybe not so much if you're an officer. But if you're an enlisted guy and you did it, and let me tell you, that gunny, you know, he deserved to go to jail. Okay? He deserved to go to jail. The board recommended 7 years. He got sentenced to 10. The lieutenant colonel is, and Mike can talk about this, he didn't serve at the drill field. Maybe you don't want to talk. Who gets put in charge of battalions at the drill field, Mike?
What do you mean, lieutenant colonels?
Right.
Where
do they come from?
Other MOSs,
admin, right? All these other.
It's their first chance that they get. Yeah. It's where your adjutants go, where all the other people go that don't have any chance for commanding people.
Yeah. And so those are the battalions that they get given to make them competitive for higher rank. And they're novices at it. And if you want to eliminate that stuff, put combat arms guys at the depots because of the high visibility nature of it. And I would tell you that 90% of this stuff goes away because they know what they're doing. These guys are novices.
Well, if it's that important, put post command guys there.
Yeah. Your second one. Yeah.
Yeah, so second command tour. Make it really important.
Right.
I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road, man.
Right. So, anyway.
You know, it wasn't too long ago where as a captain, you could have multiple command tours.
And the good ones did.
As a major.
The good ones did.
Yeah, as a lieutenant colonel. I remember lieutenant colonels having the chief of staff being a post command guy. Well, that's pretty much what they do now, but other jobs where it was higher visibility, they're post-command selected. But not anymore.
No.
Yeah, a regimental colonel working at the depot should be a post-regimental commander.
RTR, recruit training regiment, right? And so, again, and it's kind of the Marine Corps' affirmative action program in terms of these other MOSs that don't get to command as much as you would in the combat arms, they need their turn too. And so this is a place where we can make it right for those people and give them the opportunity to command. And it comes with its risks, and you're seeing it. But again, to me, the scales are wrong. You know, and
oh yeah,
an officer, Mike. Can you imagine that a recruit dies, and it not directly, but indirectly by your failure to remove somebody? Well, how does that not directly? Yeah, the reason that kid's dead
that's,
is because this guy
is
abused.
Directly.
Yeah, and you can the Marine Corps is saying indirectly tied to, but it is the act of negligence after he was ordered to do it, and you get a fine of $5,000. And you're allowed to retire at your present rank. That's it. And a nasty letter. When that comes through, what do you say?
Well, I mean, this is all, Mac, it can be summed up as this. If your question, Mike McNamara is involved in a shooting, were you shot a perpetrator? Your question, Mac, did you shoot subject A? Indirectly, my gun was directly involved. I was indirectly involved. We can't have it both ways.
We do.
No, and that's just it. We can't, you know.
Frustly.
You know, I didn't follow the Paris Island thing. So I don't know who this guy is. I just know that what I did see was the Lieutenant Colonel got like a letter of reprimand. Okay, but he's going to retire as Lieutenant Colonel. He's probably never going to get promoted. I got it. But the gunny's staff NCO's going to jail for 10 years.
Yeah. That makes sense. Nobody else got
and
shit.
And no one in the command knew about this? This gunny was unfit to serve, or the staff NCO was unfit to be there?
No, he was told by the regimental commander to get him out of the position. He was told by other staff officers from the regiment to get him out of there, and he didn't do it. Mike, I mean, this is
all of the senior enlisted guys that advise the commander on enlisted matters should be gone too.
You think they're out there walking around, going to the PX, right? And here's Gunny Felix out there, you know, drilling the platoon. And they look and they're like, what the fuck is Felix doing there? Now, this is what I understand, Mike. I'm a sergeant major. I walk back in. I tell the regimental commander, hey, sir, Felix is still out there. Wait, I pick up that phone and I call you and I said, Musselman, what the fuck are you doing? Sir, I'm doing fitness reports. Did I tell you to get Felix away from that company and that platoon? Yes or no? Yes, sir. I'm going to be down, and I'm going to punch you right in the face in the next 15 minutes, and this ass better be gone. Blam! And the phone slams, and I grab my cover. Sir, where are you going? I'm out. You come with me, and you're down.
Well, no, the conversation would have been, put your ex on the phone. Why, sir? Because he's in charge now.
Right.
When I get to your office, I want you gone.
Yeah,
XO gets on the phone. XO, you have 30 seconds to get rid of Felix.
Or you're
by the time I get to the office, you're gone too, you're gone and too. Then the Adj is in charge. You know, or the Sergeant Major. Sergeant Major, if you run into that as the Sergeant Major, you see that. I walk over there as Sergeant Major, and I say, Felix, come here for a second. Platoon halt. Walk over there, say, Felix, what are you doing? I'm Jillian's recruits. No, you're not. Go to the regimental commander's office. Wait for me. I'll be right there. You take charge of that platoon. Do whatever you got to do. Release them to another drill circuit. Walk back. Walk that kid back into the office and say, sir, this Marine that was directed by, you know, I removed him. They got to have, I mean, again, you can't have pick and choose what you want responsibility.
But again, that's
either all or not.
But again, what we're talking about is novices in command. Novices in command that don't eat meat. All right, that shit. That's the low hanging fruit. That guy's still being investigated. It's come to my light. I've told you to do it. It ain't done. Right? That's easy. That's easy.
Well, you're fired.
Yeah.
You disobeyed my order. You're fired.
You're fired. It's
you
easy.
You knew better than me. You're fired.
So I don't get it. And as Mike said, all the enlisted guys in that thing, they all knew. And
they're fired too.
Yeah. And only one guy. And only one guy's going to jail. Okay. All right. Joining us now, in a little change of tenor of the program, is the one and only Phil Bemis. Phil, first of all, did I say your last name right?
No, Mac, it's Phil Bemis, long E, not like the toilet seat that everybody sees.
What? Bemis is a toilet seat?
Yeah.
It is,
famous,
believe it or not.
Comfortable.
All right, now, first of all, Phil, how do you know Mike?
Okay, so going down the legacy route of one Michael Musselman. We served first LAR together from 97 to 2003.
Boots.
He was in Bravo Company. I was in Alpha Company at the time. We attended the Bradley Master Gunner School together. We became very good friends from there, and we've just been following each other throughout the Marine Corps.
Now, were you in Afghanistan with 3rd when we were there?
I was.
You were. Right. I heard that you can't.
Yeah.
I heard. Hey, shut your dog up. I heard that.
I know. I'm trying.
I heard that you came through Dwyer. Yes.
I did.
Nice.
I did come through Dwyer. I was with 3rd LAR from 09 to 2011, and during that time, the first Afghan deployment, I was the operations chief, and that was 2010 to 11. And my 09 deployment to Iraq actually was in the northern Nineveh province under Ken Kasner, and I was the logistics chief for the battalion.
Do you remember a medevac that we tried to help you guys run in a dust storm? Was that you and I? Was that us doing that together? Do you remember that?
Was that the 2010 time frame?
Yeah.
2010 medevac for Corporal Torberg, I believe, outside of the Haji Salim village.
Yeah, and it was a horrible dust storm, and you guys then ultimately had to try to move by ground, and I think we linked up with you. I can't remember, on the river and blah, 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 blah. It was a nightmare, though.
It was our first and only KIA that night. And, I tell you, being in the COC, it was, the boys that I had underneath me, they were the true, excuse the French, but they were the true cock masters. I give a lot of credit to my staff over there for making things happen, and all the way from the air officer to the corporal running CPOF.
That's our system of maps and a system we use to command and control. No, so Mike, when was your first tour at LAR, at LAI?
97.
And Phil, yours was?
Mac, I tell you, my first tour at first was, 1995.
Okay, my first tour at first was 1985. Okay, so just so we have everything straight, when I say some shit on this program, YouTube Boots just say yes, sir. Got it? Are you everybody straight, Mike? You straight on that?
Yeah, whatever, man. Sure.
Hi, sir.
Thank you, Phil. At least somebody got the memo. All right, Phil, first of all, tell everybody, well, first of all, we'll learn about you real quick. Born and raised where?
Trenton, Michigan, 1900s.
1900s. All right, how'd the Marine Corps get on your radar?
A typical story of each and every one of us, little trouble growing up, on probation with the law after I graduated high school in 1983. 1986 came around, went and joined, went to the recruiter's office and said, hey, I want to sign up. And, the recruiter tells me, says, you got what it takes. And I said, well, what do I got to do? I was a little round and ready back then. I wasn't as physically in shape from wrestling and playing football. He says, how many pull-ups can you do? So I did 10 pull-ups. He says, oh, okay, that's pretty good. How fast can you run? Well, I went and did the mile and a half, 8 minutes and something, I don't know. And then after that, the crunches, well, that's where it got me. minimum were 40. I think I did like 36 because I had a beer gut from partying.
Yeah,
and,
no kidding. What a fat man.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, man.
You're like 20 years old and you could only do like 30 sit-ups in like, what, 2 minutes? That's like a straight-up slob, man.
Hey, wait, stop. I was driving a truck for three years after I got out of high school.
Mike, if you any time in your hey. Life, do you think in 2 minutes you could pump out like 40 sit-ups?
Yeah, easy. But first of all, I want to say, typical, it's not typical to be on probation in high school, first of all.
Yeah, but the rest of us didn't do that shit.
Don't pass that off as like the rest of us, yeah. I would not know what that would be like, so.
Yeah. What would you?
Like I said, I'm a Boy Scout.
I'm not a Boy Scout, okay? But I wasn't on probation out of high school, for God's sakes. What were you on probation for?
Assault.
That's legit. I'm okay with that. I thought it was going to be some kind of petty.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Petty.
You're going to be on probation, be on.
You might as well be. Yeah. Might as well be legit. How did you get in the goddamn Marine Corps with being convicted of assault? That means you're like
hey,
a, that means like you that means like you're a criminal.
Well, it was close to that, but at the time I had a lawyer from a family friend that was born in 1895, and we had him for about a year. Let's see, that was 85 to 86, and finally I shit canned him and got one of my sister's friend's lawyers, $200, got off probation, was allowed to join the Marine Corps because the recruiter told me the right things to say. Ain't that right, Mike?
Yeah,
recruiters have a way of telling you, hey, this is what you need to say if they ever ask you about that, and that's the facts. And from 1986 until August 29th of 2016, I served honorably.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Okay, so you're driving a truck, you're a fat ass, and you can't do any sit-ups, and you somehow or other wrangle your way into the Marine Corps. What do you decide you want to be in the Marine Corps? Because you're a criminal.
Well,
you're a legitimate criminal with a fat ass. So now you come into Marine Corps, you lose it, you can do some sit-ups. What do you decide you want to be?
Well, I wanted to grow up, so the benefit tags came out, and the recruiter says, hey, out of these ten tags, pick three. So I picked a rifle, a badge, and a wrench, because I'm a motorhead too. So he says, well, we don't have nothing for you in the wrench department. He says, well, you're not 21 yet, so you can't be a military policeman. And then he says, this rifle, I can give you a badge and a rifle and put you out on barracks duty, but you're going to be an infantryman. And I said, sure, why not? So then that's where I meet Brian Zigafoos, the one and only, the infamous one.
Are you kidding me?
I'm dead serious, Mac. As I wrote in my email to you, long-time listener since I found out about your show and the cast of characters that you have had, some famous, especially Mike Musselman, Brian Zigafoos. Yeah. I was Will Constantini's master gunner on our 2004 deployment, and there's been some others that I have crossed paths with, served alongside of, and drank some beer with.
Okay, all right, so hold on before we go too far. Could you guys both validate that there's a reason why Will Constantini is nicknamed Constant Weenie? There's a reason behind that, yes? Yes or no? Yes? Mike?
Yeah, yes.
Phil says yes, Mike?
I never saw. I was never on the receiving end of that.
That's not what I asked you. Is there a valid shut that mutt up. Is there a valid reason? God damn it.
I know, a dog. Pitbull.
Really? Well, throw him some meat and shut the door, Phil. What the hell? How do you meet Zigafoos?
We were at Naval Weapons Station, Yorktown, Virginia together. He was the senior Lance Corporal, and I was a PFC PFC of 21 years old. I was put in second platoon hang on, guys. I'm going up.
This is the worst interview I've ever done in my life.
Hey, I kind of figured that was going to happen too, you know. So now I'm in a secluded area on my balcony having a cup of coffee, drinking a cup of coffee, having a smoke, and watching some hummingbirds.
Nice, nice.
Retired life. So Zig is my senior Lance Corporal. I check in as a PFC. I'm 21. He's the age of, I think, 20. We befriend each other. And next thing you know, I'm driving down to the 7-Eleven around the corner, and I'm buying beer, supplying beer to my closest friends. And that's how Brian and I started.
Because you could get your senior Lance Corporal beer, nice. And so you stay in, because you know Zigafoos, his, you know, it's really funny. He goes from there, from Barracks Yorktown as a Lance Corporal to the fleet. And I can't remember where he goes, but I think he's at Pendleton, right?
Right.
And he's at Pendleton, and he's there for a couple months, and he walks into the S2 office, and he says, hey, I want to talk to the platoon sergeant for State Platoon. And the platoon sergeant wasn't there, but one of the section leaders was, right? And that was Sergeant Barrett. You know, someday to be Sergeant Major Barrett. So he says, so Zigafoos tells a story. I look at Barrett and he says, yeah, I want to be in State Platoon. And he says, well, how long have you been here? He said, I've been here like 2 months. Where'd you come from? Marine Barracks Yorktown. And Barrett looks at me and says, a barracks faggot. Nice. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with you? And then Zigafoos says, and again, not that there's anything wrong with being a faggot or anything like that. We're over that. But Zigafoos says, He said, I've been following that guy around for the rest of my career just doing what he did. I met him when I was a corporal, and I've been following that guy, just copying everything that guy did, and it's been okay. And have you ever served with Sergeant Major Zickerfuss after that?
Only in as an attachment when he was up at the regiment.
Okay.
And other than that, we followed each other kind of sort of later on in the years. He was down at MCRD San Diego when I just arrived down there in 93, and I think he was part of the 92, 94 crowd. I was the 93, 95 crowd.
Got it. All right, so let's when did you retire, Phil?
August 29th of 2016, official 1 July.
Okay. What here's an email. Hey Mac, I'm curious from Phil, is Gunner more smart or more funny? Yeah, that's a good question. Phil, is Mike more smart or more funny?
Okay, so true story. I don't know if Mike had told you this. I got a memory like an elephant, guys. And during the push of 2003, Mike was newly commissioned, refused to go to school like all the others, and he decided to join First LAR with Duffy White and be that guy, where we had two gunners in the battalion. But Gunny, newly promoted Gunner Musselman, was the go-to guy because he was left seat to Duffy White.
Kiss
so Mike gets in charge of this flyover looking at the breach point. Hey, can I say this? This isn't classified or nothing, is it?
Who gives a shit? What are they going to do? Bring it back on active duty and court martial?
No, Mike.
You know
where I'm going, right?
If the guy at Paris Island can skate when somebody gets killed, you can blow out a little classified information that's 14 years old.
They sent me up to do a breach site reconnaissance.
Okay.
Yeah. True professionalism with Mike at the helm with this handheld camcorder with an aerial reconnaissance of that breach site. And so Mike gets back. I got a cup of coffee in my hand, and I go over and I look him up, you know, because we're wanting to catch up. And he's setting up the video to do the staff brief, and he's setting everything up. And I pick up the camera, and I accidentally touch the button, and I'm, like, filming him. So what are we going to call this operation, Gunner? We're going to call it Clusterfuck? We're going to call it – what are we going to call it? And Mike says, hey, dude, is that on? And I was like, I don't know. And I stopped it. And I gave it to him, and the first 1 minute, 1.5 minutes of that is him and I playing shenanigans in the briefing room, and then they go to the aerial reconnaissance.
But he wasn't stupid enough to play that, was he?
Mike?
No, it was queued up to start right there at the breach.
Oh, so you did.
But we were briefing Dunford and all the other commanders. And Phil picks the damn thing up and he's like, hey, what's up, man? I mean, it was just like, oh, fuck.
Okay, but you didn't answer the question. Is he more funny or smart?
He's a combination of both.
If I wanted a politician, I'd go get Hillary Clinton, man. What do you think? This is all Marine Radio. This is not like all bullshit radio.
Hey, he's smart.
When I need to be funny, I'm funny. When I need to be smart, I'm smart. I'm not a comedian.
You're not that smart. You're more funny than you are smart. Okay, now that we got to the truth to that. Okay, now, Phil, what do you do? Why are you here? What do you want? Why are you on All Marine Radio today?
Mac, All Marine Radio is going to have a chance to hear the reason, the why behind the what, and that is, I started a 501c3 nonprofit, and that's called the First Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion Association.
Yeah, wait a minute. What do we call that son of a bitch? Because they've been Light Armored Infantry, Light Armored Vehicle Battalion, Light Armored Reconnaissance. How did you settle on? How did you settle on a name? What do they call it now?
We The current name of the battalions, all four of them, is Light Armored Reconnaissance.
Okay, Light Armored Reconnaissance. Okay. All
right. Right, and I just took that and we ran with it. And the initial stages of our founding fathers of the association, which started in 2011, we wanted to call ourselves the Highlander Association, named after the active duty battalion.
I hated that name, by the way. I was there when they adopted it. I was like, what is that shit? Highlanders. Like, come on. Can't we? Highlander. Oh, so now we wear kilts? You know?
And yes, we do.
And we're Scottish and all that? What is that bullshit? I didn't like it. I don't like it. I don't like the name. So, just so you know. Okay. So it's called the Highlander Association. What do you guys do? You're a 501c3. What's your mission?
Our mission, Mac, I tell you, is a very broad range of affiliated assistance to the battalion, to the Marine sailors, their families, and anyone who helped or supported the battalion over the years from its inception. First LAI Battalion, First Reconnaissance Battalion, Light Armored, to LAR, to all the other identity crises that we've had over the years trying to figure out what suited us best. And our principal goal right now is to generate and membership and to go after sponsorships. Not to go after sponsorships, that's a bad term to use. We're not going after anything, but we are going to try to build a monument on Camp Pendleton, which we've been approved for. And that's going to commemorate all of our Marines that have fallen since Desert Storm, and currently with the remainder of those Marines from the War on Terror 2003 until we pulled out in 2012.
Okay, let me ask you this. What's the best radio program that you know of right now?
Well, it's all Marine radio.
Okay,
without a doubt.
Who's the smartest retired officer you know right now?
Mike Musselman.
No, shit, you just...
Hey, no, I'm only kidding. Hey, there is a lot of...
No, there's not. No, there's not. There's only one that you know right now that's the smartest one that you know.
It's already said.
Who?
I agree. Hey, I second it.
Shut up.
Hey, no pressure. Hey, this isn't Robert's Rules. We're not in judiciary law. I guess I would have to retract that from the record that it would be Mike McNamara.
All right. Now, I'm going to introduce you to the guys from the 5th Marine Regiment Association. Okay?
Okay.
They're going to dedicate a monument at San Mateo at the Memorial Garden on Memorial Day of this year. And you need to be there for it, because I'm going to be there for it. But the reason I'm going to introduce you to these guys, they've raised $400,000 for this thing.
Mac, is this for the 2,900 Marines and sailors who lost their lives during Vietnam?
Yes.
I'm well aware of that association, I will be there for that.
Do you know the guys? Do you know the principles of it? Because what I want you to learn from them is how they did it. And you can do the same, things, and I'm sure they'd be happy to help you because they're awesome, awesome guys. You know, and again, this love the reason why Mike gives up an hour a day, 4 days a week, the reason why I do this every day is because of our love and passion for Marines, right? And the institution is great, but the Marines that we walked the same path with, whose courage and valor we've seen in combat. Is incredible. And Phil, what I hope is that you guys can raise a ton of money, not only for your monument, but as guys get older and they have problems and whatnot, that you can be your own little Semper Fi fund, because of what they can teach you relative to raising money, because they have done a phenomenal, phenomenal job. Raising $400,000, and amazing, right?
It's incredible.
Yeah, and so now that you've come correct with the smartest retired Marine officer you know, and we got that shit straight, Mr. Shut Up in Texas. I'll introduce you to those guys, what's interesting is they did a whole series of hunts around the country over the course of a number of years to raise that money. And what they found in the guys who like to hunt is a willing audience for guys who would love to support this cause. And I know sure. I know Gunner's sympathetic to that and knows that group of guys. But that's where they raised a ton of money. And imagine $400,000. But again, their devotion to their comrades. One of them, Nick War, platoon commander in Charlie Company 1-5, and had 29 of his 50 Marines killed or wounded in the first hours of the fighting when they went into Hue City. And you know, this thing got started because one of his Marines, who was awarded the Medal of Honor for diving on a grenade, he's a dark green Marine, buried in Mississippi. He went to visit his grave, and the grave at the cemetery was a private cemetery, had gone bankrupt, and the whole thing was overgrown. And so they started raising money. Exactly, they started raising money to restore the whole cemetery to include their comrade and to put up a sign for him. And out of that came this larger effort. And wow is the right word. And for anybody that can get there on Memorial Day, that's been ever been part of wearing the French Forge, or if you're a Marine, it's going to be awesome because the monument is absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. If you go online and you search 5th Marine Vietnam Memorial or something like that, you'll see it, and it's breathtaking there. And the Memorial Garden is beautiful, but this is going to be a big monument to the left as you're looking at the monuments now, to the left of what's currently there. So
yeah, Mac. When that first iteration of the Memorial Garden went up, I was there for that one. I came up with the battalion commander at the time. It was breathtaking to see that go up.
Yeah, no. And then you were there when General Kelly dedicated it?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a pretty moving day. You know, his son's name, his son, Lieutenant Robert Kelly, name on that wall. And so, wow. All right, what do you want people to know? Is Mike a part of the association?
Mike, I'd have to really
that's a no.
Really get down into it.
That's a no. Gunner, what's up, man?
No, I was part of the beginning stages when we were starting it back in the day when we were meeting out in Sacramento. But that's when I was on active duty, and like I was contacted by another friend of ours, Bobby Whalen, and like I told him because of the political shit that I've been doing, Mac, and I'm on two nonprofit organization boards right now out here for battered children and the other one for veterans. I really don't have the time.
To be a member?
Well, to be a member, yeah. I mean, I could be a member.
Okay, then get your checkbook out. Nobody, hey, look, the last thing we want is you on the board running your suck, okay? Just get your checkbook out and be a member.
Oh, okay.
Hey. Are you with me, Phil, or not? Come on.
I'm with you, Mac, and I tell you, every one of us, friends, family alike, Mike, for your $100 being retired, that generous donation is tax exempt, and you'll be able to be part of that monument when it goes up, as well as receive the information of our upcoming events, such as those Highlander nights that we do, and any other event to support if you're ever in the area or want to fly from the nation of Texas back here to the left coast of California.
Yeah. All right.
If you ever run another sob story like that about, and that I have to get out my violin for, I'm going to snap right in the middle of it, okay, just so you know.
Hey, what's Phil's life goal dream for where he wants to live?
Phil, what's your lifelong dream? Where do you want to live?
Well, it's going to be in the next 5 years. I'm going to be pushing out to Texas probably.
Unbelievable. Where in Texas? Have you ever heard of Granbury, Texas?
No, I haven't. But is it anywhere near the Dallas-Tyler area?
Yeah, we're about an hour and a half away.
It's about an hour and a half away.
Well, there you go. that'll make us drinking buddies once again.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, actually,
I'm not sure that's going to be
good
for anybody.
I'm just going to be outside, Tyler, today. I'm on my way right now.
Why? Where are you going? What are you doing up there?
I'm heading out to McKinney, Texas right now.
To do what?
Oh, to see some friends.
Just hang out?
No. Just go do some work. I can't talk to you about it.
Why? Is it covert operations? Are you working for the CIA?
No. No.
All right.
Just a Texas organization, law enforcement organization.
All right. We'll leave it at that. Phil, do you guys have a website? How do people find out more information about you guys?
We have all venues of social media covered. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We have an open and closed group, but our open Facebook page, just type in First LAR Battalion Association. It'll pop up. You'll see some of the latest posts. You'll see some of the other things that we got going on. We also have a website, www.firstastlarbattalionassociation.org. Go and check us out. You'll be able to read about the board of directors, some of the things that we've done, and specifically some of our current sponsors.
Co-chairman Jeff Powers.
Co-chairman Jeff Powers, mentor, friend, warrior, name it. He's an icon in the community, both LAR and reconnaissance, and all the other things that are in his bio.
Yeah, you know, I never served with him, but Mike is a fan. Mike says great things about him.
I'm a true fan. He's like a father.
Bobby.
Yeah,
go ahead, Mike.
Big Jeff is he's a good guy.
All right, is it Bobby Whalen?
It is. Bobby Whalen.
So
Mr. Energy.
Bobby Whalen's our vice chair. And, well, let me, if I got 2 minutes to try to tell you how this all started.
Sure.
We started this in 2011. And, or 2011 with a visit from one of the Marines who served in Desert Storm with the battalion. And on January 29th, where we had our 11 first casualties, a friend of mine, now a good friend of mine, was traveling out here in California and stopped by the battalion. When he stopped by the battalion, the Marines were deployed, and he had this vision of putting the monument up. And so with the monument going up, we started acting. And you'll see when you go to the website just the progress that we've made. And then the initial board of directors, we were all on active duty, and we couldn't commit to forming it. We couldn't commit based on operational commitment. So then this is the tie-in to Bobby Whalen. So in 2016, after I retired, I met up with Bobby Whalen and some other Highlanders, my secretary, Will Wenberg, the current serving battalion commander assumed command, and those guys were all invited as well as myself. And we reunited, reconnected in a short amount of time from May 2016 till October. We formed the board of directors. Every one of the members on the board are former Highlanders. Our subcommittees are all Highlanders. I mean, I'm telling you, guys, this is a dream come true just to have the association formed, ready, and starting to mass its members. It's awesome. And with me doing, working side by side with Jeff and Bobby and the rest of the board, we're hoping and we're going forward with doing this, dedication for this monument. It's awesome.
I just went down the list of battalion commanders. Wow. So where do I see pictures? Do you guys have pictures of if I click on Memorial Project, will that have some, does that have a depiction of what you guys want
to do? It does. Call click on it, it should auto slide left and right,
yeah,
showing you the past memorial and then the present memorial.
Okay, and you guys are going to, is there any conception of a larger memorial that you want to do?
The larger memorial should go below it.
Go below it?
Go below the one you're currently looking at. That's the one that was, that sits currently in front of the command post of 1st LAR on Camp Pendleton.
If I scroll down the page, and then it's got the Eagle Globe and Anchor, it's got the black granite panels. Wow. That's awesome.
It is. It's amazing. It's a beautiful piece of artwork. And it'll forever, commemorate the Marines that we lost over the years. And it'll include every campaign that the battalion's been in and the losses and its current up to date all the way to, March 2012 when we had our last KIA.
You know, for people that don't know, we have there's traditions that have grown out of our most recent conflicts. And, one is that, there was never, I don't recall, memorial gardens on any of the camps that I ever served at. But I think 5th Marines was the first one to do one, yes?
I'm pretty sure.
Division built the wall first, right there by the parade grounds. That was first.
That was first?
Yeah.
All right, Mike, tell everybody about the wall.
The wall is everybody within that served under the flag at the 1st Marine Division. And there's all sorts of guys from different units. Everybody that paid the ultimate sacrifice in minutes by year, within the Blue Diamond. So, and it's just names etched into a stone.
All right, and does that, going back how far?
That goes back to right about, I think, just right around 9/11.
Okay.
I think October.
Okay. All right, and then the next one was, and then what happened was units would go up into the hills and of Pendleton and make their own little monuments.
The cross above Porno.
Right, and those are sacred tribal land, right?
Yeah, the stones they carry the name. They now etch the names in the stone, and then their friends carry their name up to the hill to rest with the other guys. So you go up there, and there's names, there's memorabilia. Yeah, it is sacred ground.
It is, and if you've ever been there, I mean, it is. It's our place. It's not a beautiful place because there's Jack Daniel's bottles. There's 12 packs of beer up there. There's condoms. There's awards. There's all kinds of stuff. But all things that come straight from the heart that you would give to a brother that you spent time with when you go to up there to spend time with them. Units would go up there, and that happened for years and years and years when they redeployed. You know, you'd see them going up there to have their own very, very private ceremony, only us. And so those developed. And then 5th Marines built their memorial garden. And now you've seen these other memorials that are similar to theirs happen. And I'll tell you what, I think they're great because I think they promote healing. I mean, and imagine that. Imagine guys from Vietnam seeing that on the internet. Coming to see it in person and saying, we've got to do this for our guys. You know, almost 3,000 names that fought under the 5th Marine Regiment will go up on a wall and after they've raised $400,000 to do it. That is incredible. That is incredible. And Phil, you guys are going to do the same thing. And again, Phil, I would say when you get to talk to these guys, you know, and then, you know, what if whatever you don't spend on the monument, is a fund to help, other people with, awesome stuff. But these guys know how to raise money and I'll help facilitate that so that you guys can do good things.
Yeah, that's awesome, Mac. I tell you, you know, once that monument goes, that and we raise more money for that monument, it's just going to keep on growing. And then after it gets settled and we get established, I'm gonna put my position up for a vote, and I'll just become a trustee or something like that. But it'll stay resonating in those current Marines that are there, because where the monument's proposal site is right by the barracks. So as they come back and forth out of the barracks to go up to the ramp, they'll always be able to see that. You know,
no, they
don't have to hike up onto a hill or anything like that, which, as you mentioned earlier, it is a sacred ground.
Right. No, it's part of your everyday. You see it every day, and you're reminded of it every day. The 5th Marines, I think what they did with it is it's in onyx. The base is in onyx of the centerpiece, so there's the tablets with names, and then the memorial itself is onyx, and then so which is black, and then on top of that, I want to say is etched in white in the onyx is that silhouette of like a pair of boots with a rifle in it and a Vietnam era helmet on top of the rifle. That's etched in white, so at night it'll look like it's floating above the black onyx. It looks beautiful and very, very cool. So these memorials, and I'll tell you, the other thing that they're healing for a lot of different reasons. And I think we've all been to ceremonies. We've all been to ceremonies at these different memorials, and very, very cool. But anyway. All right, Phil. What haven't I been smart enough to ask him, or Mike? What do you have to, as we wind this up, before we finish? What haven't I been smart enough to ask you that you want people to know?
Well, I just want. You're asking Phil. Or you're asking Mike. Mike should be able to say Phil. The same things that I'm gonna.
He won't though. Go ahead, Phil. He'll screw it up.
Hey, I just appreciate the airtime and having me on the show. It's great to reconnect with Mike as well and with you, Mac, and put a shout out for all the Highlanders out there that are listening, because I know there's a couple of them. And check our website out. Donate for the cause, because if you believe, it'll come. As well as anyone else who wants to jump on board our cause.
All right. So, Gunner, you got anything else?
Hey, what's your one clerical thing is it's a soldier's cross, Mac, where you see the rifle between the boots and the helmet on it. It's called a soldier's cross.
What does that have to do with the Marines? We're Marines, though. We're not soldiers.
Mac, that's what it's called. Or Marines cross. Go call it what you want.
Marines Cross.
The proper name of the Soldier's Cross.
Thank you. All right, what's next?
Fallen. Just call it a Fallen Marines Cross. There you go.
All right, it's a Fallen Marines Cross. Cool. No, it's a white pedestal, and then in black onyx is carved. You can check it out if you go to their website. So, but yeah, thanks.
No, it was a good tour. I got there as a staff sergeant and left as a Marine gunner. That's a good tour.
I got there as a sergeant and retired out of there a master gun. It was an awesome tour. 10 years out of 30 years was spent in 1st LAR.
Wow.
And several conflicts shared with my brothers on the left and right, supporting those above and beyond and mutually supporting the cause through and through.
Was it the only LAR battalion that either one of you guys served in?
No, Mac. Yeah. I started... After I left barracks duty, I went to 2-2 and then re-enlisted in 1990, served with 2nd LAI, Delta Company, and Desert Storm, left for the drill field. This ain't a whole bio thing, but 95 I started, 99 I left 1st LAR, went to 4th LAR, 2009 I went to 3rd LAR until 11, and then came back to my roots 2011 to 16. So I served in all four battalions, each one unique. Each one has the same mission, and each one of them can do windows when asked.
Yeah, because General Zinni used to bust balls on LAR. Yeah, I love this argument with LAR, LAI. They don't do windows.
Yeah, but as we've evolved over the years, we find ourselves doing a lot of windows with today's emerging concepts and the near-peer competitors, you know. So the future of LAR is going in the right direction, and it's in good hands from proper mentoring and all that from all of our time spent there. So it's a good, it's a good deal.
You sound like the Ockfield sponsor, man. What the hell?
It's called advocacy. It's called advocacy, not the Ockfield sponsor. I'm an advocate.
You're right. It was always the fastest, you know, and, you know, in a lot of the world, you know, you can't get tanks across bridges because they're not constructed to support 70 tons of steel. So what's left, you know? What can we use? What can go there? And the light armored vehicle community can. And so it's been a great addition to the Marine Corps. You know, I remember when I got there and then learned about it, the vehicle, and then began to study cavalry campaigns in the American mm-hmm. Civil War and some of the commanders that use speed as a weapon and how they destroyed units who didn't think they could be anywhere near there simply by the use of their speed, and they didn't have to be the heaviest organization on the battlefield because the other unit didn't have time to mass in order to fight them, and they annihilated a lot of people. So no, it's a fun unit because as a leader, your seniors aren't near you. You know, if you're a platoon commander, you're way over there. You're like,
yeah.
Yeah, your company commander, he's like 12 clicks away. He's nowhere near you. And so it's a lot of fun. You have a lot of responsibility.
He's in a different state.
That's right.
Hey, so Matt, one plug for you and a plug for Mike is that, the Task Force Tripoli ride up to Tikrit, that was based on a conversation from the president that wanted the Army, asked the Army how far and how long it would take them to assemble a mobile task force to go up to Tikrit to find Saddam Hussein because the pressure was mounting. And they said 2 weeks. Well, that same phone call was given to General Mattis, and General Mattis said a day. So what did he do? He mounted two battalions of LAR, and they marched to Tikrit and secured the city of Tikrit just based on that quick, rapid deployment force. That's how good we are.
With the White House Chief of Staff in charge.
John Kelly was the assistant
division commander.
He's assistant division commander and head of the task force with Duffy White and Herman Clarity. As the battalion commander.
That's a fact.
Exactly.
That's a fact.
Exactly. All right. Phil Bemis?
Bemis.
Phil Bemis from the 1st Light Armored Reconnaissance Association. I'll get it right. The 1st LAR Battalion Association, the Highlanders as they're known. Phil, give the website one more time.
www.1larbnassoc.org. Check us out.
All right, check them out, and they're doing good things. Phil, we'll have you back on. Whenever you need to come back on, just go ahead and shoot an email or a text message and say, hey, Mac, I need some time. And whenever you need to come on, we'll be happy to have you back on and help you. And next time you won't have to be kissing the gunner's ass and playing.
I would never kiss his ass.
Oh my God. The smooch besties make me want to vomit.
Hey, Mac, you're just damn jealous.
Hey, one last plug for you too, Mac. I was with Fightin' Joe Corbett just the other day at the battalion celebrating OT-13 Day, the second annual over at the headquarters. Awesome.
Joe Corbett, I taught, and he went into the Light Armored Reconnaissance pipeline, and then became the director of the school. I remember driving by the school, and I'd see, you know, OIC, Major Joe Corbett, and I'm thinking, God help us, man, that moron's in charge of a school. And, he's an awesome guy, smart guy, funny guy, and very dedicated, to the 1st Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion. So he's a good dude, and a friend for a long, long time. He was a funny guy, even as a lieutenant. And lieutenants tend not to be very funny. So, anyway.
Right. Yeah, he told me that story, Mac. And much respect, because you knew he'd get it done, right?
Yeah. No, he's just, you know, he's one of those guys who, you know, there's some guys who love being Marines, and they got a little bit of sense of humor, and they got a little bit of smart. To me, it's all the elements of what it takes to be good and navigate through a lot of stuff. And Corbett had it. You could see it. Even as a second lieutenant, he added bright look, always a smile on his face, always upbeat. And so no shock that he was good, on active duty and an operator. So anyway, all right, Phil, as I said, you have a standing offer anytime you want to come on and update what you're doing. Anytime you guys have an event that you want to plug, just shoot a text, and you're always welcome here on All Marine Radio.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mac. Might talk to you later. Semper Fi, brothers, and greatly appreciate it.
All right. We'll see you later.
There you have it. Mike, any final words before I let you go?
No, I'm concentrating right now driving because now it's...
You're concentrating?
I hate being in traffic. This is, traffic, Mac. This is the city now. Going to the city.
You don't like that?
I don't have these problems. No, I don't. Don't like being around a lot of people.
All right, well, just turn on the music and relax and think about life, how fortunate you are to have the lovely family you are and live in a great state and have survived all the things you survived, and life is good.
All right, man, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, bud, take it easy.
Yeah.
There you have it, the one and only Michael Musselman. And... let me tell you, one of the most fun parts about All Marine Radio is the interviews, man. You can't make this stuff up. Phil Bemis. That was hilarious, how he got into Marine Corps. And see, you know what? You could call Marines fat. You're a fat ass. And they'll laugh. Yeah, and they'll tell you the truth. But, it's the first LAR Battalion Association. Okay, so if you put any permutation of that in your web browser, you'll come up. And the project called the Living Memorial Project. So... help them out. And if you've been a member, you don't got a choice. And I will say this. The 5th Marine Regiment Vietnam Veterans Association, yeah, holy smokes, man. They've done incredible things. You know, and you know, the cool part about being part of this tribe is, you know they're more than happy to share and help out. So we'll make sure that's done. I got to call Phil Bemis right after this. And make sure I affect that connection. So don't touch that dial. You're going to hear a little bit about what oaths mean in our culture today. Yeah. So you hear some news headlines. You're not going to hear too many news headlines. So I kind of get going on a little bit of a rant on oaths and how from fraud in Silicon Valley to fraud at the FBI. Yeah, Andrew McCabe. Yeah. Oath? What? Yeah, you know, it's stupid. And again, my final point today is a board of his peers at the FBI recommended that he be fired. Yeah, that's where that's coming from. Anyway, on a Thursday, All Marine Radio. Oh, have a great one. Oh, and then one more thing. And then you'll hear Captain Joe Patterson, United States Marine Corps, recently gave up Kilo Company 3-5, and they were, if I could call them, they were the spearhead of the Sea Dragon 2025 study that the Marine Corps did, preparing the Marine Rifle Squad for the future. So you'll hear Joe Patterson. Really interesting stuff, too, relative to weapons comm configuration as the Marine Corps looks to a future conflict. So very interesting stuff. Now, with that said, out.